Thank you all for resting and pausing. As I was sitting here, I was savoring the trees and felt so blessed to be able to be as still as the trees, as the mountain, as the sky. All of nature is deeply, deeply still. Even when the birds are flying and singing and the deer are grazing, it's all very, very still. Also, even the human tribe, we're all awash and animated in stillness. Though when we're in activity, we don't notice that all there is stillness, all there is silence and grace. So how wonderful this invitation to pause is, to gather together, just to be together. All the role play is set aside. The to-do list is resting on the table. Just being here together. So these satsangs are just in celebration of the silent and the conversation with language that consciousness has been having with itself forever. So feel free to just share whatever you're noticing, whatever's coming to sit with you. So to speak, you just unmute yourself with *6, and then when it feels complete, *6 again.
Pamela?
Yes?
This is Glenn. Hi.
Hi, Glenn. Welcome.
I guess I'm first today. It's been a good bunch of years. And there is a sabotage mechanism of wanting to seek to shift. And I'm still up in this head of an identity of Glenn with, of course, some kind of desire that it would end. Some kind of desire that I'd be more in my heart by, quote, by now.
What you call the Glenn, you know, the persona or the character. There's a true, deep quality in the Glenn, which is uniqueness. Yeah? And then the other part, I find for me, the persona was about experiencing all the contrasts and then also the, kind of like a shield.
Yeah. That's protection because of all the traumas.
Right. And, you know, even if the trauma wasn't there, there still would be devotional protection. Yeah? So just for a moment, just thank the Glenn. That's beautiful. If we take one N off your name, then you're a refuge, a forest, a Glenn.
Yeah. Which,
so just in this moment, honor the Glenn rather than trying to fire it.
Okay. But I'd also like to see if I can tone down the wanting something better.
Yeah, but the problem is since everything is animated by the elemental divine, you can't tame any of it. And you've noticed that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's more, I mean, I can't but say you know, my affinity is for the bowing. Because everything, as you know, is the five elements just masquerading as these services or apps. So just bowing, honoring.
That's a good reminder.
Yeah, even longing. Longing, there's truth in it.
Bowing and honoring to all of it instead of trying to do something else to move it somewhere.
Yes, because if you notice, the five elements are sovereign. You can't manipulate them or come with an agenda to them. We're just bowing. And then they shapeshift and reveal their naturalness.
Well, is calling them my friends okay?
Sure.
Well, that's what I typically do with them.
Yeah, but keep a good bow there. See, this is from Papaji. He said to go within with devotion and gratitude.
Yeah.
So before I was, you know, going within with agenda and firing everybody.
Yeah, even when I'm agreeing not to fire them, there's still a part that would like to fire them.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah,
so even bow to that.
Yeah, I call that my sabotage mechanism.
Well, it's not even yours. It's just an automatic app. Yeah, you wouldn't have written any of this into it.
Well, thanks for reminding me of the fifth element again.
Well, I think of space is the element that is holding all the other elements, yes?
Well, last time you were saying the fifth element was love.
Oh, I like that. Yeah, same.
But you said that last time.
I know, but I like that I forgot and you reminded me. Big loving space. Very good.
Oh. And then the bowing and the honoring instead of trying to do something with it, that's really
That's it, because then it'll spontaneously liberate itself or uncontain itself, because it doesn't like being a smaller, worried service either.
Yeah, well, sometimes the advice is to be with it, but the bowing and the honoring feels like I'm still doing a little something that rather than doing nothing with it.
Okay.
So that feels better, bowing and honoring, still
Very
doing
nice.
Something. But it aligns with everything.
Wonderful. Beautifully said. It aligns with everything. True. Thank you, dear.
Thank you, Pamela.
Hi, Pamela.
Hi, who's that?
This is Lucia in Oakland.
Oh, hey, Lucia, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm noticing something, actually, that's making me giggle a little bit. And it wasn't a giggle before we sat in silence. So what I'm noticing now is that I have these options in front of me, which up until maybe 20 minutes ago felt like a burden and a question of what I'm supposed to do next and what should I do next and what would be the best thing and you know, and all of a sudden I'm looking at them and I'm thinking they're all really nice things.
That's right. Life is an amazing menu.
It's like, oh wow, I could do that, or I could do that, or I could do that, and either one of them, any of them would be great. So I just wanted to share that.
Yeah.
That came from the silence, surprisingly. Yeah. And all of the activities are actually rather large. And not silent at all. Oh. In fact, here's a question that just has come from all this.
Yes.
I was in the dance studio the other day rehearsing a piece, and I thought, so how can I be still when I'm moving? And that's the question that's out there right now.
Well, I can tell you a wonderful, very short story a friend of mine told me in Europe.
Go goody.
He was a well-received opera singer.
Ooh.
And one day he sang his heart out, so to speak, at this big opera gathering.
Mm-hmm.
And he was the student of Bawa from Philadelphia. Omar Mahayadin, who is an amazing Sufi saint. And so he called Bawa so excited because he had never sang like that.
Uh-huh.
Well, actually, he called him a day later. So anyhow, then the next night he was also very excited because he just assumed the singing would be as glorious as it was the day before.
Yeah.
And it was actually felt flat, comparatively.
Uh-huh.
And that's when he rang Bawa to ask what happened. And Bawa just chuckled. He said, well, the first night God sang, and the second night you did. That
yep.
made me laugh. So we want to make sure life is the dancer.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Often it is.
Mm-hmm.
And especially in rehearsal, it is, and then the person comes in with, oh, this movement isn't good enough, or what are they going to think about that one, or that's a repeat of this one, or the, you know? It's
yeah,
than
so
the,
you just think that that's just wanting to keep you safe. So thank you, thank you. Okay. We're going to let life move. It's safe. Ah.
Hi, Pamela.
Does that ever go away?
Hold on 1 second to the new friend that just popped in. Does that ever go away if you help it discern? Because it's a just in case app.
Yeah.
It just wants to keep you safe.
It makes me sad. I'm sad. Now I'm sad. I've gone from giggling to now I want to cry.
Yeah, but just because it's sad.
Oh. It is sad. Oh, it's very sad. Oh,
yeah,
God.
That's
it's
it. Just,
yeah. Oh, and it's just, decades worth of sadness.
Maybe millions of years.
Yeah,
and just bowing to it and just letting it know it too is divine and it can rest.
I just have kind of a cartoon image of this huge creature just going, falling on the ground.
That's it. And just rest.
And the ground is reverberating from its crashing to it.
Yeah, and really honor it. It was a devotion, a movement of devotion and protection.
What's the devotion?
Well, if it didn't know who you were, it wouldn't have been so passionately protective.
Got it.
Even the mind. I mean, if we were just like a crumpled paper bag in terms of value.
Yeah.
We would not have any of these protective movements. But because we're the bright, shiny, pure innocence, then there's layer upon layer upon layer of protection.
Protection from others' judgments.
Yes, and, you know, any imaginary threat or perceived threat or threat from the past that we never want to happen again.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so finally the sage just bows to all of these. They're really noble servants. They were just pure devotion, worried, but still devotion.
Right, now I see the devotion. Now I can see the devotion. Yeah, I see it. Okay. Now the giggle came back.
There you go.
Okay, good. Thank you. I bow to you.
Oh, likewise. Thank you, dear.
Okay, sweetie. Thanks.
Hi.
Hello.
Hey, Pamela.
Hello.
I'm excited to talk to you. My name is Sophia.
Hi.
And when I started hearing your words and your experiences, you know, on YouTube, I'm like, hallelujah. Because I always thought that, you know, the body is not the object, and I could, I was elevated, and I was relieved, and I learned, and I was getting insights from my body.
Yes, absolutely. Very wise, the body.
So it was interesting that Lucia said that, because just yesterday I was asking consciousness, what is movement, or because the idea of movement and stillness, not the idea, I mean, I know that all is stillness. And I actually stopped the searching. But the answer was that movement is stillness.
Yes.
And I'm like, well, wow. At first I didn't get it. But then I got, and now when you said at the beginning, you know, even when the birds are flying, they're in stillness. And I said, I felt, yes. Like in the lake is still, but the water is moving. There's always movement, but there's always stillness.
Oh, beautiful satsang, Sophia.
So, I have a lot of things to share, but I want to share something fresh from this morning where, you know, the mind was busy and, you know, I usually thank it and it usually comes down and then it comes back. But then I went back to my heart and it's almost like I felt I asked my heart and I received that my heart is the alchemist, not my heart, it's the heart, it's everybody's heart. And then my heart is an alchemist and I could really see that it's protected. Even though it's very open, even though I have, you know, periods or length of moments and you know, that really everything is still while I'm moving. But there was almost like a, I wouldn't say desire, I would say longing for the heart to break even more open. And I just share, you know, I lived in the U.S. for 18 years and now I moved to Israel and really the intensity of everything is very intense, you know, like everything is double, the pain, the, you know, it's like almost like you need to work harder to stay still anyway, because the environment is invasive anyway. And I must say that my biggest challenge was to how to get rid of the role of fixing and fighting ignorance, so-called. But I think I'm kind of like a little bit over that. But my insight from this morning is, no help to break my heart open even more. Because it's guarded by the guards of humanity, you know?
I like to just bow to the inner protector, protectors and just really honoring them as devotion, and also that they are stillness as well. And then bowing to that one heart as you spoke. And then it just uncontains itself.
Yeah. I once asked, you know, is the pain bottomless? And I don't think it's not personal.
Yeah, it's definitely too big to be ours or accumulated by one being. Yeah, it's universal.
Yeah.
So especially where you're living, it's so beautiful if you could bow to the pain, to the suffering, because suffering itself also wants to come out of its role, and pain wants to come out of its role.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, I found that. Go ahead.
You could just ask it, what allows it to feel so deeply, or who are you? Because pain and suffering feel very deeply. They're not shallow. Who are you that you feel so deeply?
It says, I'm that.
Yes, yes. It's the impersonal big love that's holding all that. So we also want it to remember itself and know itself as love without burdens.
Maybe I can ask, can you remember yourself as love without burden?
Yes, we want also the, everything awakens, the mind, the heart, the belly, the whole body, pure awareness. I'm just inviting the love to totally uncontain itself. And know its enormous mountain strength.
So I invite it to know its enormous strength.
Yeah, ask it to look within itself, because it's pure openness, yeah? And ask it to look for its natural strengths. Because our culture has projected on love frailty, or only noticed its sensitivity rather than its resilience and big, big, big strength.
Oh. There's a little fearless returning back.
Say again, love?
There is a little feeling now of returning back home.
Oh, very nice. And just feeding that with gratitude. Yes, yes, yes. Thank you, thank you.
It also says that I don't need to carry all this burden.
You don't need to?
Carry all this burden.
No, 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 no. We can let compassion or life carry it. Would that be all right?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because see, when here we all are, and here we are, the big space, the big love, life itself. And when it takes on a body, it still wants to carry what it carries. So we're just inviting it to notice it doesn't have to carry it physically, emotionally, mentally.
Yeah.
There you go. Ah.
Oh, thank you. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much.
Mm.
I'm so glad I found you. It almost felt like I had no one to talk to, you know.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, it's an unusual conversation, isn't it?
Exactly. So much gratitude.
Much love, dearest.
Hello?
Yes?
Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
So, I'm noticing, well, I don't have to go into this. Actually, I wanted to share something in listening to the people speak, to Usha.
Yes?
There's this woman, Sally Gross, who's been dancing for 50 years, and there's this beautiful documentary as Stillness as Dance.
Oh, sweet.
And another thing that came up was the Rockefeller Connection. There's this incredible big statue of Ganesh dancing, or the one with the nose, the elephant.
Yeah.
It's dancing. You see, it's like moving, and it's still at the same time.
Oh,
it's most, I saw that, and it's most incredible how it can embody the movement and the stillness in the one form.
Yes.
It's the Rockefeller Connection, Ganesh.
Ah, beautiful.
So I'm noticing through my ordeal of the last week, there's this background sort of amazement at things. You know, and the part of me always wanted to be, you know, more expressive, like flamenco or James Brown or very, you know, intense. And I'm seeing, like last night I got into a car and I just looked at the moon, and there's a part of me that wants to sort of just get so excited about it. Or I'm feeling this background just intensified life.
Ooh.
And the usual way for me to be would be to talk too much and try to explain it to someone or effuse. But I'm seeing that with understanding this bowing, there's even a bowing to that.
Wonderful.
And a more in just being it rather than, wow, how no, look at the moon and, you know, it's sort of, you know, because it's like this overall, just like I was sitting in the hospital, even when I was in the hospital, and there was this just intensified life. So maybe there's I'm just feeling, well, not feeling, you know, the, maybe like was said, the heart rather than, it's not my feelings, it's the feeling behind it.
Beautiful.
Yeah, I mean, actually, Joe Miller used to say, you can get more stinking from thinking than drinking, but the feel is for real. And he said it wasn't about feelings, but that which feels the feelings. Or
oh,
something.
Gorgeous. Nicely said.
And I really am starting to feel that.
Yeah.
And I could see even all my doubts and all my apps of insecurity and not succeeding in life have hindered that. And now that's little shifting.
Wonderful. Yes, it was just the noise of all the apps that was obscuring what is. And they're animated by all that glory anyway, so nothing really happened. But it's delicious to notice what you're noticing, isn't it?
It is. I mean, it's like, well, there's still, you know, there's still a pedantic teacher in me wanting to teach people, you know, see, look at it, be alive, but it's, you know, it's sort of like a fundamentalist preacher.
yeah, know, but I mean, just by living it, then you transmitting this invitation.
Yeah, yeah, but it's less, that's what's a little, yeah, maybe I'm relaxing, so I'm just, it just is, rather than all my life, you know, whether I, you know, see something and but it's a romantic thing, you know, I see the beauty and other people don't, and I have to make them see it.
Yeah, you know, but I like, let's go scroll backward to, of course, now it's disappeared. You said it's
feeling,
so
you mean it's not the feelings, but what feels.
Yes, but even just a few heartbeats ago, you confessed what you're living. But we heard it, and it touched us all, so.
Uh-huh.
Even though it dissolved into stillness again, it was heard.
Uh-huh.
Oh, beautiful, Charlie.
Well, thank you so much, Pamela.
Oh, thank you, dear.
Okay. Be well.
Yes.
Hello, Pamela.
Hello.
Hello, I'm Kate from England.
Hello, Kate. Welcome.
I've had the joy of being in your company on several occasions when you've been over in the UK.
Oh. Thank you.
I don't know whether this is the right place for this to happen, but it's happening. I was on a great spiritual search 10 years ago and tried everything, you know, Reiki and crystals and so all sorts of different teachers and some great ones like Tony Parsons and I met a guy who was a teacher at the time, and I met him in Hyde Park, and I'd never met this man before, but I wasn't frightened at all, and I just went with this guy. His name's Dave Ashana. I don't know what's happened to him since. He felt enlightened. And when I was sitting with him, we spoke for about 2 hours, and for about 15 minutes, I had this major revelation that I was everything, and everything was me.
Yes.
From the blade of grass to the lady with the pushchair over there, to the ant, to the tree, and there's this huge, huge, joyful expanse of creativity. And it was so huge, it was beyond any brain comprehension, and that was what was. It was almost like, at the time, I put it into a way I could understand it, and I'm not sure if I did it right, because I put it into a way of that, it's hard to find the right words, the divine could not see themselves, so they created everything in order to experience every single thing that could be experienced. In this huge creative explosion of joy, of experiencing, it kept me just amazed that there's just this massive creative energy, just huge, in everything. This is how I felt.
Yes.
Okay. So my feeling was, and I'm not sure if this is correct now, so this is where I'm coming to, that the divine just wanted to create, just wanted to experience and feel everything, everybody, every tiny atom and molecule. And that's where I come to a big help, because I was sexually abused by my dad and my brother when I was a very little girl, before I was 12, and have been mentally ill on and off all my life. I'm 50 now, and it kept me, my belief in that I got from you into bowing and understanding that the mind was part of God as well. I say God,
yeah,
best word. So even when my mind is crying and desperate and upset, I'm bowing to it for thinking it has to protect me. But I come back to this, it's really hard to put into words, and I don't want to waste everybody's time. If the divine's intent is to create, and the joy and excitement and just sheer, I can't even put into words, magnitude of that creation, then my own human experience has been abuse and mental health. And I get stuck. I try, I get stuck that, where is the creativity in that? I've lost that joy.
Yes. But it's only because the suffering in the past in you wants satsang from you.
Yes.
Yeah? So the past wants its freedom, and the suffering or the trauma wants its freedom, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So just, you know, when I think of humanity or even the human mind, I think of it lately as a rescue animal.
Right.
Yeah. So the other clue consciousness gave itself is in the word trauma. Is the word A-U-M, OM. So we want to just show trauma its naturalness and suffering and the past. So just invite those three friends a little closer, just as if they were little orphans or rescue animals. Would that be okay?
Okay, so the three friends being trauma and...
And the past, or history, personal history.
Yes.
Yeah. And suffering itself, or...
Yes.
You would know best who's showing up in your inner satsang.
Yeah.
And as this just big one love, can you just sort of shine on them and let them know they're welcome? It can come rest. Like we're just saying, come here. It's safe now. That's not going to happen again. Come here.
It brings up an element of joy and an element of fear at the same time.
Yeah, how beautiful to notice they're both welcome here. And just thank fear for protecting you all these years.
I worry that when trauma and fear have been all that there was, to be seen by people around me, that I have damaged my family.
Okay, is that true, or is that a thought or a projection?
I don't know.
Okay. So everything is asking you to give satsang, which is to clarify or speak the truth.
Yes.
So as innocence, did you do anything wrong?
No.
No. So just, can you sense all the conditioning is also innocent in you?
The conditioning that I must be hurting people.
Yes. Only innocence would take that on as a burden and a belief. Does that resonate?
Yes.
Only innocence would say it's all my fault and
yes.
I'm hurting them. Yeah. So just tell innocence to look behind all those projections and those ideas into the purity of its being, so it too can know itself. Would that be all right?
Yes.
Yeah. So behind all history and all ideas and beliefs, who are you, dear, to the innocence?
Star. I just feel that I am the blackness, but not in a negative way at all, not the silky blackness of.
Yes, beautiful. Yes, you're this.
Yeah, just
velvety.
Yeah, silky, velvety blackness.
Gorgeous.
Absolutely. It's that. It brings up that same feeling of. It brings up a feeling of relief, but also of that joy of creation, yeah. Created out of this blackness.
And just to that, thank you, thank you, thank you. This is why Papaji could confess nothing ever happened. Because it's like in the back of the theater, nothing ever happened, really. None of the Shakespeare happened.
Okay, that's hard.
So we're just really just blessing all the innocence so it can know itself as that velvety background and know the purity of its being has been untouched.
Yes.
Yeah.
It wasn't me. Personally... causing it or wanting it or...
No, you didn't do any of that. That's why they call you innocence.
I just feel this blackness around me like a...
Yeah.
Like a cloak.
Gorgeous. The blackness around you like a cloak. Is that what you said?
Yes.
Gorgeous. Now, can we bow to your mind? Because your mind was up there in the head, apparently, worrying and blaming itself and projecting and ask it if it would also like to know its pure being. Would it like that?
Yes.
Yeah. So invite the mind to look behind the past and the files, the beliefs. Just into its essence. So we're asking the mind, who are you really, dear mind?
It opens out into that feeling that I have of pure creativity.
Gorgeous, yes. Pure creativity. And can it sense that it also is a pure and innocent with no history as well. No history of deficiency or its opposite.
Yeah, it kind of just is.
Yeah.
Massive, joyful celebration of itself.
Gorgeous, vastness, joyful celebration, yes. We definitely want to show the mind its true nature because otherwise it's up there weaving tapestry after tapestry of sorrows and...
Yes.
Yeah. And bowing to the mind, because it was so innocent, it did the best it could to protect and understand. But when it contracts, then it's limited. So here it's back to its unlimited, natural mind.
Again, I'm doing the purity of blackness, the emptiness.
Yes, beautifully said. The purity of emptiness, the blackness. Yeah.
That is
and the body, does it know itself as that as well? Just bowing to your whole body. The mystery of mountains and rivers and the heart like a sun. And inviting the body to know also it has no history.
It recreates constantly.
Yes, absolutely. It's fresh and new. You just ask the body to let you feel it also as the vastness.
My body feels sick.
I missed the last word. The body, the whole body is?
It feels sick, and literally physically sick.
Oh, yeah. Now, just thank that for protecting. And just tell it, it's safe, it's safe. We're just, it's like a yummy yogic stretch as it uncontains itself. Okay. It's safe, it's safe.
That's what it needs to know, because it's so fearful.
Yeah, but honor the fear. Thank it for its love.
Yeah.
And just let it know we're just inviting the body to return to its naturalness. Also the same dancing emptiness. Sparkling. Luminous darkness. Would that be all right?
Yes.
Yeah, because sometimes, you know, fear is like a little, well, wait a second. So we have to give satsang to the fear first and invite it to join the party.
I understand. It's difficult because the physical is holding, feels like it's holding on to the pain and all its might.
Yeah, but honor that as pure strength. Just say your strength is welcome here. Mountain strength or lion or dragon strength is welcome here. And just reassure everyone that that never has to happen again. All the icky stuff that happened, it never has to happen again. Because that's all trauma ever wants to know, is that it doesn't ever have to happen again.
Feel the need to comfort the little girl somehow.
Yes, yes, yes. And just scoop her up and just tell her she didn't do anything wrong. She's been very, very brave.
Yes.
And ask her if she would like to know her true nature. And we guarantee her safety.
Yes.
Yeah. So ask her to look behind all ideas others have about her and her mind had. Who is she really?
She was just innocent.
Yes. And ask her wonder if she knew her really, 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 really big strengths, could she live as innocence?
Yes.
Yes, okay. So invite her to notice that she's open and she's pure beingness, but invite her to look into the background or into the depths of her pure being and notice her big strengths. Because she's also that which is keeping all the planets up. So we want her to notice that big strength. Unshakable strength.
Yeah, it feels like she's more strong than I am now.
That's it. Yes, yes, yes. And then bow to your idea of yourself. Just bring yourself flowers, really honoring the persona, because she was like your shield.
I kind of got confused and felt that the divine wanted to feel everything.
The divine wanted to feel...
Why did the divine want to feel that?
Yeah, but what happens as soon as thought gets a hold of that huge noticing that you noticed, then it's not the whole truth.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So honestly, what happened was the divine, you know, just kind of came into manifestation with this big creative, like, stretch, right? And
yeah.
Created everything all at once and
yeah.
Delighted in it all. But then the mind came out of its glorious vastness and got kind of small. And contained and then turned in on itself, and the emotions also were these brilliant, glorious colors of consciousness that then also kind of contracted and curled in on themselves, and then they became deeply, deeply unhappy and sought relief and did really ugly things. So we can't really say that it was the divine that did that.
Wanted to experience that.
It didn't really. What happened is in the containment of its glory and its vastness, suffering started to happen. And it started to seek relief, and it didn't remember how to uncontain itself. You see?
That was for them, too.
Yeah, and so they didn't know. Yeah, the ugliness had no idea. And so it actually sought out innocence.
Yes, it did.
Yes, so it knew somehow to find innocence, but then ugliness happened. Yeah.
That's what they wanted, my innocence.
Yeah, but can you sense that innocence and the purity of your being is, it's still intact. It didn't get polluted. It's pure, untouched, radiant.
I hate to sound like arrogant or anything, but
love. Can you say that a little louder, love?
Yeah, sorry, I don't want to sound arrogant, but a lot of people say that I shine.
Oh, I hope you do shine. We need this purity of being to shine forth. Yes, 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 there's, yes, and just bow to, only humility would be concerned about arrogance. Arrogance is never concerned.
Okay.
Yes, yes, yes. So shine, shine, shine. Beautiful. And then maybe on your own, really honor the body and show fear its true nature.
Mm.
Yeah? Because fear, the true nature of fear is courage. They're not two. And fear is actually more courageous than courageousness because it's contracted and it shakes, but it's still willing to be here. And to me, that is like, oh, beyond courageous. So can you just bring fear some flowers and fruit and honor it as divine?
Totally. Oh, God, totally.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's just answered it so well. My mind is getting caught in why does God... I don't know where to use beloved. Why did he want to experience this through me and now...
Yeah, but don't believe that's true.
No.
No, because that's not going to soothe everything.
No.
And just agree with the mind that we didn't like it.
No.
And that God had no idea that was happening and certainly didn't want it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Didn't want to experience it. It wasn't something that he needed.
No, it's that pointing, when it's filtered through the mind, the one mind, is not true anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's the, you know, as soon as the divine contains itself, then it's like the myth of the fallen angel.
Yes.
You see?
Yes.
So then none of those pointings are true anymore. Yeah?
Yes.
Yeah, so you're innocent. God was also innocent. You know? It was the contained, suffering, angry suffering that did all that. Yeah. Frustrated. Yeah, you're just innocent. So this is so beautiful. This is why it's so important for sages everywhere to liberate the one mind in-house, in our very own embodiment. Because it was the mind that fell from grace, not us.
When I saw you on one occasion, you said about the mind being divine as well and that we didn't need to get rid of it. We had to thank it. It was almost like a parent that was fearful for the divine in us. Whereas
yes.
Thinking the divine was fragile, where in fact it's the mind that's fragile.
Oh, beautifully said. Mind is fragile.
You said that.
Oh, I like it when I hear things freshly.
That stages me that the mind is like a parent trying to protect the divinity, and it's in fact the mind that is fragile and needs to be welcomed and bowed to and understood.
Yes, 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 and liberated. Yes, thank you so much for resonating with that.
Thank you.
Very nice. So I'll be back in England in, I think, April.
Oh, great.
Yay!
Are you going to, I don't waste time, but are you going to do any more of these telesatsangs in the new
year? Oh, yes, yes, yes. On January, I think, 4th and 18th.
Fantastic. I have been listening. It's like, I really honor you.
Likewise. Thank you, dearest.
Thank you so much, Pamela. Thank you.
Bye-bye for now.
I love you.
I love you, too. Hello.
Yes.
Hi, Pamela. This is Diane. And
hello. Welcome.
Thank you. It was very helpful listening to you, you know, talk with the last person. And I'm trying to unwind a bit from the last 5 days. Just so many things happened at once that were, that kind of brought me into like this big overwhelm. And I feel like I didn't have any days off, and now I'm not sure how to give myself some downtime so I can even focus on the work that I have to do.
Okay.
Right now I have this extra work that's like doing taxes, and computer went down, my cat got sick, and it was $500, everything, all at once, and my daughter and I got in a fight, and just more, I don't even want to go into the details, I'm kind of being hard on myself and just kind of stuck in this of anxiety. And
yeah, but just a little bit of soothing, because I think of the nervous system as our musical strings. And your strings just got too tight, so we're just gonna just soothe them a little bit. Just talking to them, like giving them a little satsang. It's okay, we can rest now. I agree, we didn't like what happened. Natural not to like that. It's like an inner massage or inner sat song almost. Natural not to like what we don't like. Very natural. Natural also not to like overwhelm and too much to do. Very natural.
Well, it's turning into sadness right now.
Yeah, but that's good, because that unwinds everything as well. And just agree with the sadness. Just yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. And just let it know, life, innocence, that it can lay its burden down for this moment?
Yeah, I think that's the challenge. Is like, because if I go at all into the future, I see so many, you know, potential challenges coming up.
Yeah. And just inviting it to notice it's safe to rest for a moment. For this moment, it's safe to rest. It's natural. All the trees and the cats and the dogs, they all know it's safe to rest.
And just even inviting the to-dos or the future or overwhelm to come here. Just inviting them all to come rest.
Just a lot of overwhelm.
Yeah. And just a little compassion for overwhelm because it doesn't know how to rest. And we're just inviting it a little closer. Come here, come here. It's safe to rest. And just, I like honoring what I don't like, or what the body-mind doesn't like. So I honor, yeah, we don't like overwhelm. I agree. Natural not to like that.
Yeah, there's a part that also got just stuck in, and it's still there a little bit. It kind of gets stuck in anger, you know, that this, you know, that everything going wrong at once, or it's kind of like this story of overwhelm, you know, in general, and why does this happen to me, and kind of, you know, feeling angry at everybody, the universe, at it just, it isn't fair, and...
Yeah, but can we agree with it? Because it's definitely not fair. Just tell anger, you're right. You're right, I agree. Because we actually want the anger to flare up and uncontain itself, because then it'll be your big strength, like Kuan Yin's dragon. Because otherwise we're these shakeable beings. And there's no judgment on that, because we've all been there.
So what gets a little confusing to me is I felt so much anger, and it was that a lot of it was at my ex-husband and wanting to say some things to him that I hadn't said, but I didn't want to say it until I got clearer. You know, I didn't know, you know, because there's this whole spiritual thing about being loving, you know, and I just got stuck in this place. Like, I don't know how much I should say.
Yeah, but anger wants to balance that. So, and clear seeing did come in and say it didn't want you to express that stuff when you were reactive. So that's
right.
True. Cause
so I just wrote it down and expressed a little of it, not overtly.
Yeah, very well.
There
wise.
Was still a lot left. Yeah.
So can we honor the anger? I think of anger as this wonderful fire of truth, flame of truth. So just fan it a little bit. Just say yes, yes, yes. Because we want it to get really big and not to dilute it by expressing just for these few moments. So just inside, just really yes, 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 yes. You're right, you're right. Because there's so much truth in what anger speaks or is frustrated about inside.
Mm-hmm.
And just yes, yes, yes. I agree, I agree.
But it's interesting because it's almost like I had to hold on to it for a minute to feel the anger, and then when you said yes, 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 it kind of started to melt into love, and so then I got
so good.
Well, where is my strength if it's just melting into love?
Oh yeah. But now ask the what we were calling anger and now we're calling love, ask it, let me feel your unshakable strength. And sometimes we have to invoke that a few times or ask for it a few times.
It's a harder one for me to get in touch with, I guess.
Yeah, that's all right. So maybe the phrase natural strength is welcome here, or divine strength.
I do feel it. I feel it almost like in my posture, in my body. And
oh, gorgeous. And now start welcoming it, or bring it flowers, or feed it with devotion and gratitude.
Yeah, kind of what happened was worrying about what other people thought kind of fell away, like, or other, there was, I don't know, there was just a...
Wonderful news, my goodness. That's huge. So can you say a few more thank yous for that?
I mean, it might come back, but in the moment, you know.
Well, not if the strength gets fully uncontained.
Right.
Then we will come back at maybe 5%, but that's about it, like an echo. But just fanning the strength, feeding it. Yes, yes, yes.
Yeah, there's also a kind of a calmness and a quietness at the same time.
Wonderful.
Like now I could go back and focus on, if I had to go back and, or chose to go back and focus on my computer work, I could do it.
Yeah. But right now we want to really stabilize the
mm-hmm.
big strengths.
I like to stabilize big strengths.
Yes. So once again, mountain strengths is welcome here. Or divine strengths. Find your word that pleases presence. Even natural confidence is welcome here, because that's an aspect of presence.
Yeah, and I relate a lot to the mountain and mountain lions, too.
Wonderful, yes. Yeah, so mountain lion strength and confidence is welcome here.
So I'm just feeling it.
Yeah, and let it sort of awaken every cell of the body and nourish every cell so that it is just what is rather than something that comes and goes.
Yeah, the main thing I sense is just that it's not really any words. It's more of a... like my spine is straighter.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a... what do you say, like... not fierceness, but...
fierceness is welcome.
But yeah, I guess it could be.
Discerning fierceness is welcome here.
Yeah,
because that'll balance any of the spiritual sweetness.
Right.
Yeah, because we need it all. It's like we're this glorious piano, and we don't want to be just playing a few spiritual notes. We want to be true. Deeply true.
So I imagine even energetically having, being this... would even change sometimes outer, the way things are come towards you.
Absolutely. Because if we're in a spiritual persona or a nice woman role,
then life is going to have to push on us to get us to be real. So this mountain that rises up, this mountain lioness or pure being that knows its unshakable strengths and clear seeing. And then life goes, okay, cool. Okay, good. Good work. And it doesn't have to push and sort of throw us around the universe to get us to root and uncontain our field.
Yeah, it almost, I don't know if this is true, but it almost feels like it might be helpful to kind of remember the feeling that I'm having now or invoke it if I forget it, or I don't know why I'm afraid of forgetting it.
Or what you could do is say, I return the body and the life back to you, because this is your deepest natural.
Right,
this
so it's there rather than to make.
So like I return the persona back to you, I return the all the talents, the love life, the work life, the creativity, the body. I return everything back to you. May I only be you.
And we're still talking mountain strength here.
Oh, yeah.
And you,
mountain lion. Yogananda's guru was called the Lion of God. And that means like, wow. I mean, nobody gonna mess with that guy.
He kind of looked like a lion.
He does. Isn't that amazing? He's a Lion of God. He was like fully rooted, uncontained, clear as a bell, big love, big strength. And that's such a longing we have in all of us, you know, to completely uncontain the love. But that won't happen unless the mountain strength gets uncontained. Because mountain strength is not going to allow the pure being to wander around without it. Because otherwise the play starts all over again.
Is there an aspect of that that I got like masculine and feminine, like there's an aspect of having both of those rather than?
Yeah, if that resonates for you, that's the unity of that strength and love. That's probably what the masculine and the feminine is the embodied celebration of in all of its forms. It takes. In, you know, when I go to Paris on one of the bridges, and I know we have to finish up soon, but there are these angels that have one of their arms just resting on this magnificent lion that's standing up. And when I first saw them, I had to take lots of photos because to me that was the a visual representation in marble of innocence and mountain strength, lion-hearted strength. So thank you, Diane, for resonating with that and being that and uncontaining it.
Thank you so much.
Oh, my goodness.
It's guiding me.
Oh, wonderful.
I'm so grateful. Thank you.
Oh, thank you, dear. And thank you, everyone that spoke and that was holding the silence for all of us. Deep bows of gratitude. And deep bows of gratitude to East Bay Open Circle and Dow for hosting us today. I'm going to return the hosting back to you.
Thank you, Pamela. Oh, so wonderful to be together. And let's see. So our next Telethought song with Pamela will be January 4th and January 18th. And I think that's all I have to say for now. So I invite everyone to unmute yourselves so we can say farewell together. You can each press star 6. And again, a reminder that when you're unmuted, it's good to use your telephone handset rather than a speakerphone or headset to help avoid sound distortions. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, Pamela. Beautiful set song. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Love all of you.
You all are amazing. Yes.
Wonderful.
I love you, Pamela.
Thank you.
Love, 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 love.
Love, love, love.
Yes.
Eternity love.
Thank you.